I still think it's July. July the 12th, 1992, Sunday afternoon, we're meeting at the bookstore. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. We need a little fun, a little relaxation. For you ones who are here for the first time, and we welcome you. I'm Yorgos Hatton. I come in light of Holy God on a mission and in service to you ones who are also in the service of Holy God and proclaim that to be your intent within heart. I'm not interested in your mouth. We don't have a program as such. It may appear otherwise. You can tell we're not very efficient at all this heavy electronic technology. But we have managed to get a few things gathered that make it a little bit easier for my speaker to speak without shouting and you ones to hear. The platforms are simply to get a little height to the chair so that for you ones who do not hear well, you can have a little lip sync. We're not performers. The Hollywood sunglasses, they don't count either. I pulse in at a frequency right at the crossover between tone and light. And she receives on a receiving device these pulses. The light is extremely brilliant and it's very painful to the eyes. And you might say, well, yes, but colored glasses are a little bit silly because obviously the glasses protect from the light coming in from the outside. Yes, that's true. The only thing she has sheltering her iris, her lenses, is a very thin eyelid. And with the luminescence that is created by this contrasting, clashing of light tones, if you will, she can sit and see all of the blood vessels running through both her eyelids and her eyes. And it's very distracting, and after a while it gets very discomfortable. So with that out of the way, then I can also go farther and say that we don't really have group meetings as such. We take this opportunity because we are so pressured for time that there are little moments left for simple questions and answers. And I get a little harsh with my own crew when they ask me what to them seems like very important questions, but to me means they haven't done their homework because somewhere in those volumes are the answers to the questions. And ones find it a lot more fun just to come, quote, to church and listen to the preacher for a little while, and now I'll ask him all those questions and I won't have to go look it up. So each meeting, and at some point, visitors may actually feel me to be totally rude. I would hope that you would not classify it that way until you come into knowledge of exactly who we are and what we're doing. Because we don't fit any category that you have going on your place. And at least once per day, I am disciplined for that. Not by my crew, but by yours. I don't understand why you would be abrupt with me, one of your favorite children. We have a job to do. And I'm having to pull you out of your ego-centeredness. I can never bring you away from your me, I am-centeredness. Because if you ever pull away from that, there is no central focus point. So we can't move away from the I am recognition and consciousness, but we have to get away from the I, me centeredness, this selfness that must, in your ego trip, become first. And in overriding that, you know, we began, what now, 4 years ago, spoon feeding, chewing, and feeding you the mush, and we finally built to this. So ones coming into our group must understand that we're 4 years maybe ahead of you. Or if you have been keeping up, it won't be a problem to you at all. I'm a commander of a mission. That is the way I project. That is the way I experience. And that is the way I want you to accept me. If I take a higher calling, I tell you, I put on my different hat, and you will know the difference. My purpose is not to be farther distant from you than would be one from the ethereal range of perception. It's easier for me to simplify it by saying a fourth dimensional creature. None of these are accurate because you don't understand what I'm talking about. And all of your language presents whatever the elite learned professors want you to translate a word as to being in meaning. You will have ones from the Arcturian groups who say, oh, well, this is the period of time for the earth to pass into fifth dimension and human into fifth dimension. That is absolutely, it cannot be. That would defy all the laws of God and creation. You do not hop from human into fifth dimension. You don't even know what fifth dimension is. And that assumes you pass, hopping over, skipping, the fourth dimensional experience, which wipes out time and space so that you can understand it. Now, they border on the truth because some of you will go to the tenth dimension if you're going to call these levels of progression dimensions. But you see, these ones do not say fifth level of progression. They say fifth dimension. And if you don't even understand the fourth dimension, how in the world are you to perceive any kind of truth in going into the fifth, which totally defies all of the laws of progress? And yet ones will then come to say to me, well, what do you think about the groups that go by the Arcturian teachings? How can I answer you? I just did. And yet this is a kind of response I get over and over and over. Most of it pertaining to your own perception of thought. So if I am abrupt, I'm simply trying to make you think because you know the answer. I particularly sat here while they tinkered with this equipment. It doesn't matter how long it requires to set it up because it's a good experience. Are you going to go to your liftoff so well prepared? How many of you in 30 seconds could pick up what you need for 3 days, clear the property, and in 2 minutes get into security somewhere? And you are in the middle of earthquakes. You have been warned every confounded day that you could expect any kind of happening. And still, I look around this room and I don't see anybody that well prepared. When are you going to do it? Are you going to wait for me to do it? Well, you're lucky that the games people play are the games people are playing. But you must come to understand that the games that they're playing can be the total annihilation of this planet. Earthquakes, you aren't having earthquakes. You are having prana waves with receivers on one end and transceivers and transmitters. Amplifiers, capacitors, and testing. They've made the full loop now of your major military underground installations. You have to watch the pattern. You have to realize that underground, deep underground, are the receivers to amplify these pulses being beamed through. So they form a cycle, and the cycle builds and builds and builds and builds. And if they blow out those capacitors like they did at Livermore Labs, you are going to have this desert out here explode. You will note that these earthquakes are not on the major faults themselves. They are very, very close. And they are really ticked off at Space Command because I personally have limited their last few little games. They don't dare put that kind of power into the Garlock Fault or the San Andreas is gone. But when you experience the triggering of the San Andreas, you'll get it on the Hayward and you'll get it on the Garlock. And I have said there will not be a massive earthquake that is totally devastating to this area. And they honor me. I'm going to remind you once of what I've said. And always, hopefully, the informers will always get the word back that I said it. Everything is wired. Everything is monitored. And so you are going to have to understand that when I speak very frequently, I'm speaking directly to Edwards and directly to the CIA and the British intelligence. Now, you have had a strike at the major Marine base underground facilities at 29 Palms. That's your Yucca Valley mess. Moving on over to San Bernardino, where you have the terminus for the underground canals that float your submarines from the coast. These are humongous canals that will handle easily a submarine the size of a World War II aircraft carrier. Then they hit China Lake over by Ridgecrest. And now they've hit Edwards at California City. These are testings. These are warnings. They have an entire secret code involved in them, and I'm not going to give it to you. Please do not ask me. You once play this game as if it has no importance whatsoever except to your curiosity. That's immature and childish. Your curiosity can kill my crew, and I won't respond. And then ones go out and say, well, he won't even answer the questions. I don't know why I bothered to go. I don't know either. Because the meeting is not for those kinds of informations to be sent forth. I have a written treaty with your administration. I hope that shocks you. Goes back a long way. But it's still being honored. There's some nitwits who are always going to sneak in. But the game's going to get rougher. You see, I can act within the laws of both God, creation, and your land if they break that treaty. And yet, the most heinous thing that they do are send in the innocent. It's very difficult to vaporize a plane with a nice young American pilot doing what he thought he was to do. You better honor ones like Bo Greitz, who went into that golden triangle under false orders, them knowing that he could pull out those POWs. I want every one of you, if you haven't seen it, to go and rent Rambo 2, First Blood 2. That is basically the story of James Greitz. I don't sanction killing. Don't for one moment think that I sanction killing. There is no compromise. There is no negotiations. We act within the laws of God and within the laws of creation, period. We work within the laws of your land. And to stress that, I'm going to ask that Oberle read this morning's writing. You don't know anything about the truth of your heritage, your creation, and when we speak of it, we get lawsuits, threats, and 5 pages of satanic curses. And they come from ones less than 30 miles, 35 miles from here. So when you come to visit with us, I have to remind you, you're not coming to see Jay-Z Knight in Rompa. We have a mission. And yet I honor so greatly the ones who send all the confirmations that pour through, documents that you can read, journals and library references that you can go and get your confirmation. In this very pile of things that I had them bring today, there are 4 or 5 pages of references of material right from public documents that have been brought forth into the public, and yet nobody seemed to have ever seen on Robotoids. How many of you the last 2 days have watched the special on CNN while they push photon power and lasers? And because they call it something else cutesy, I have to then go back and I try to use the language they use so that you understand what I'm saying. I say there, you don't have an ozone problem. And you'll get one of these questions in a minute. You said, Commander, that there isn't an ozone hole. And then you say, through the ozone hole. My goodness, Chilos. Are we going to go through Dorma's, Doris's vocabulary? She has to translate to you the thought patterns that I'm pulsing to her. And if we misspeak, are you going to base your entire infinite life on something like that? Wherein, if you read the material we have written and all of the material we have given, you will understand it. And that's where we're trying to go, not with the English language. It's very difficult for me to stand by while you ones get bombarded incessantly by one saying, he doesn't know what he's talking about, he's lying to you, and the Sumerian texts are just something that were conjured up. And, well, if he's going to use that, that's Zechariah's, Sitchin's material, and we don't know how we feel about him. Well, you better get on with knowing how you feel about him, because he's right on. I can't use all of his material, or I would do so. Mr. Sitchin won't mind. Because ones who put their material out there, put it out there in truth for mankind. The ones who try to stop it are the ones trying to hide truth from you. Would I use it if I had not permission? Absolutely. What are we talking about? We are talking about Sumerian texts. These were the people who were your early Christians. And it all gets written and taken over by those Hebrew tribes who then took those texts and built their own Hebrew religion from it and then buried the texts. Oh, now you're going to get on the Jew, you anti-Semite. B.S. Jews are not Semites. And Judeans from the Hebrew original tribes have nothing to do with the Khazarian Jews of today. And yet many have fallen into the trap and had your heritage stolen from you while the adversary works you over. And ones who want to just hop with themselves and put up their own defense mechanism and say, you lie, I am going, and I'm going to pull everybody I can away from you, you heinous anti-Semite. Go right ahead. Because that is not our mission. My mission is to bring the word of truth, whether or not you like it, put it out there, you do whatever you want to do with it. There is no point in thrusting back at me. I do not care. I am come to gather God's people. That means the word must go out there, must go forth, and ones must hear their call. And then you have to take it from there. Daily I am plied over and over and over. Tell me personally, should I come there? Should I go here? You know what I do. Should I come there and use it? No, I don't know what you do. I am a fourth dimensional commander of a very large fleet, buried, absolutely overwhelmed in things to attend. I can give you the word. I can ask you to read it. And then I have to tell you to go within. In the beginning, as we're growing and the testing, I could take it one at a time. Because just like the garden, you have to tend the little plants that have a specific purpose. It isn't because I don't want to. It's because I cannot attend all of it. You have to take that up with God. If you are hearing and the desire is to serve, go to God with it, not Hatton. I can tell you if Hatton needs you right here, right now. And I can tell you right now that most of the ones here don't have a job. And everything is fluctuating on the basis of the bombardment of change. I know that you ones don't know what to do about some of these problems that arise. And I know that you don't know what to do with that frustration and impatience in your heart. You better consider it your testing. Or, if you are totally dissatisfied, consider it that this may not be your place. But be sure. Be sure. Probably the greatest thing we could do for this very group is to read the writing I did yesterday. Part of it is expressed as my own frustration. I have ones, precious ones, that are offended because I share perhaps too much with a group that's gathered, and many things are sent to me in personal. I guess that's as good as any, personal sharing. Because there's a great deal of closeness. And it isn't necessarily that questions are being asked, it is explanations are being offered. And even in my response to that, I know that it will come across as harsh. And I don't intend it as harsh. I intend it as pulling you up into experiencing the thought processes. And quite frankly, as a commander, having to sit by and watch you make errors. The level of frustration is incredible. As I watch you ones, who are the very closest to me, with the greatest opportunity of sharing practically every breath I draw in your location, wander haphazardly out there and say, oh, well, I feel it's all right. I don't feel this. I don't feel that. I would ask Hatton, but I know he'll stop me if I'm wrong. Wrong. I will not. There are some ones I will. Do not depend on it. Because that is transferring your responsibility onto me. And your agreement is with God. And that very often means me. Because I'm made responsible for that. Only you know what you're doing. And you don't perceive what it is you're doing. And if it affects this program, I don't want to be rotten about it, but if it affects the program, you better believe it. I may very well keep you alive. I certainly am going to make it miserable for Dorma if she wants to go motorcycle riding where she breaks her fingers. I am really going to be ticked off if Oberly hurts his brain. We need the thoughts and the organization. And I jolly well knew when Greitz headed for here that the CIA immediately went to work to pull his plane down right here when he hit Tehachapi. So I just wouldn't let the plane run. He didn't get off the ground. Because you ones don't always perceive your purpose. And while you're finding your purpose and you're seeking in genuine, honest to God, pleading, then yes, sir, we're going to tend you. And we're going to tend you the only way we can, and that's to get your attention. Some way. I can interrupt pulsed electricity. I can keep something from running. I can make things start running. I can even make watches run faster. I can do a lot of things to get your attention. But interfere? No. And if you're dead set on getting yourself squashed, then I'm going to let you get squashed. Maybe it'll be a lesson for somebody else. And maybe after all that was the purpose. It is not anyone else's nor mine to assume your purpose. That's between you and God. I am given to know a lot of one's purposes because they fully impact my mission. And I certainly can understand the reason for inquiry. I only ask for the same level of respect when I decline to answer, even if I know. If you want another to plan your life for you, then go to a psychic. They're very happy to tell you whatever it is you want to hear. Very frequently, what I have to say is not what you want to hear. Like I just said, that very statement is very aggravating. If you know so highfalutin much, sir, then surely you know what I'm supposed to do. Very often when that impact comes back to me, yes, I do, but you certainly don't. And what good for me to know? And I express it, and you get mad and you leave if it differs with what you perceived. And right now, amongst our own people, ones are being pulled away by others who have their opinion about it. You're going to have to, at some point, make a choice, make a decision. Not for Hatam, do you see? We don't have some great big university here. We have a group that meets to share some insight, gain strength one from another, lay out our mission so that there is personal contact, and once in a while we get to have a little party or something. Mostly it is work, and mostly it is work behind that veil, blind. I believe that the first thing I want to do today is maybe have Overly read today's message, because it'll catch you right up with this last little earthquake. I want you to understand a little bit more about the Sumerians, and we have some fill-in for that now, and the fact that this Christ Jesus, Isu, was not Jewish by any context of the word. He was not even truly what is perceived as Judean according to race or culture. He was Judean because of location. So, yes, he was Judean. And in the slang vernacular, he was, I assume, Jew, as you think of it now, as referring to the Hebrew Judeans of that day, not to the term Jew as used now. And you will note that the experts are at it again. You just had the death of communism, didn't you? Well, when communism came in, you had the death of socialist fascism. Now what are you going to have there? A democracy? You don't have anything. Nothing's changed except a label they want to throw on to you. And then they rewrite it so that you are completely confused. So maybe you would want to do that Overly, and we'll get the rest of it a little bit better organized. Didn't get to the written in questions before, and I'm now hearing about that. So we'll see what we do after we hear this.
This is the writing from Sunday, July the 12th. Today's watch, Bush Travels. Volume okay? Watch for the hay to be made during the Democratic Convention. by the Republicans. Bush will be in California, and some very good things can come out of those travels, which will actually help our own programs. But watch out, some of the things he will be doing will be as king through executive order. Interestingly enough, Mr. Kemp will be traveling with him also. We are asked if we would meet my people with these leaders. Why not? We simply bring truth. We have no bones to pick with personalities, and much good could come through understanding of stance. A goodly person has nothing to fear from one with predominantly evil intent, for if it be only evil versus godly, guess who prevails? Parole. For you who continue to ask me about parole, why? Can you not see what has happened? He just badly shot himself in the foot yesterday, for who among the minority groups of, say, Hispanics and blacks would feel equal after his speech within the meeting hall of the NAACP? Did Perot realize what he was saying? No, and perhaps that is even worse, for the condescension was totally natural. The poor man was simply talking to his audience, but enemies are afoot everywhere to never allow a slip of the lip to pass without making a chasm of it. Facts are, the fact that Perot is a billionaire speaks more loudly than any words can express. He made those billions by doing business and utilizing the system of government. Quote, it is harder for a rich man to enter through the gates of heaven than for a camel to pass through the needle's eye. It does not have to be thus, but it most often is. Moreover, Mr. Perot has been spouting off about the Hitlerian tactics of Bush Quayle for employing dirty tricks and Hitlerian propaganda. Dan Quayle made a statement that Perot would abuse the CIA, FBI, and IRS if he were to become president. Mr. Perot says, the Republicans have had a non-stop saturation bombing to recast my personality. It is a carefully orchestrated plan to try to damage me at a time when people thought I would announce. So the White House spokesman comes back with, quote, Mr. Perot's paranoia knows no bounds. Who can win in such games and counter moves? Most certainly not you, the people. It would appear the most propitious thing anyone could do in behalf of freedom would be to abuse into dissolution all three entities named above and include the PAC organizations, starting with the total shutdown of the British intelligence creation such as the Anti-Defamation League, erroneously thought to be Jewish. ADL comments by Jeffrey Steinberg. This may hold more believability if you take note that Steinberg is not a South African, Asian, or Irish surname of typical nature. It certainly points out to me that Khazarians who have stolen the Jewish heritage are real and not appreciated by those they impoverished in such manner. But this is not the focus. This focus must be on the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, and other such organizations. Quote, article by Jeffrey Steinberg, July the 6th, 1992. Time to shut down the Anti-Defamation League. The long-standing illicit relationship between the gangsters of the Anti-Defamation League, ADL of B'nai B'rith, and the U.S. Department of Justice and Federal Bureau of Investigation has gone on long enough. For years now, using the guise of hunting as Nazi war criminals and fighting hate crimes, the ADL, also known as the American Dope Lobby, for its role as a front.
That's true. That is very true. That's not a slip of the lip or a funny.
For its role as a front for the International Narcotics Cartel, has been running federal law enforcement and prosecutorial agencies as its private political police, framing up and in some cases executing enemies of the Zionists. The fact that the gangsters of the ADL should claim to be the leading representatives of the decent people, Jews and others, who suffered and died in the Nazi Holocaust, is itself one of the worst instances of anti-Semitism imaginable. Now, however, as the result of two dramatic recent developments, The ADL's days of riding roughshod over the nation's police and prosecutors may fast be coming to an end. Unfortunately, because of the ADL's decades-long manipulation of the judicial system, a number of innocent people have already been sent to their deaths. On June the 5th, the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati, Ohio, gave the Justice Department a deadline of July the 15th to turn over all of the evidence in its possession, demonstrating that an innocent American citizen had been sent to death row in Israel by Justice Department officials who withheld hard evidence proving he was innocent. The court ordered the Office of Special Investigations, the OSI, the Department of Justice's purported Nazi hunting unit and a hotbed of ADL subversion, to turn over the documents in the case of John Demjanjuk. I'll get it right in a minute. The retired Cleveland auto worker who was extradited to Israel in 1986 on charges that he was Ivan the Terrible, a Nazi mass murderer at the Treblinka concentration camp in Poland. Demjanjuk was convicted in a show trial in Israel in 1988 and sentenced to death. He has been sitting on death row in an Israeli prison for 4 years, fighting to obtain the documents that would prove his innocence. And had been hidden by the ADL and the OSI. Hundreds of pages of eyewitness statements proving that another man, who was killed in 1943, was Ivan, had been hidden in OSI files since the 1970s. Hatton. Indeed, this is the case we speak of in relationship to the Constitutional Law Center. I believe you will note that things are a bit different in that case now as they effort to find a way to release this innocent man and save face. Basically, they have changed the rulers, I think maybe ruled, in order to cover tactics in Israel. If you cannot see your support in action, try this very case with your heart and place yourself in Demjanjuk's shoes. Congressman Traficant exhausted his ability to be heard, as the Israelis would not even accept his calls. This was all orchestrated by the British intelligence through the ADL. When ones like Marchetti and the Law Center started stirring around in the soup pot, things began to change right fast. This is the way you shall have to change the world, for you cannot win by a battle of weapons, guns. The pen will truly become again noted as the greatest of all weapons. This is why the pens of patriots and God are efforted to be silenced. End of Hatton's quote. Demjanjuk may survive an ADL orchestrated ordeal, which others did not. Carl Linnis, stripped of his American citizenship in 1987 and deported to the Soviet Union to stand trial as a war criminal, died in a Soviet prison. Similarly, Ante Artkovic, also charged with war crimes, died in a Yugoslav prison. Artkovic's family has now produced documents showing that he, too, was sent to his death by a Justice Department USA and ADL apparatus that had in its possession archival documents proving his innocence of the crimes charged. Tazershim Subukov, a Circassian American, was actually able to prove that the ADL and OSI war crime charges against him were false. As a result, he won a multi-million-dollar libel suit against the New York Times for pushing the ADL and KGB-manufactured slanders against him, only to be murdered in a bomb attack in 1985 in which ADL agent provocateur Mordechai Levy was implicated. Had the U.S. government listened to Lyndon LaRouche's repeated warnings that the OSI and ADL were acting as fronts for the Soviet KGB and the Israeli Mossad, pouring counterfeit evidence into the U.S. court,